League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Y-A-M-K-E-E-S. Here comes the Yankees. Let's get behind the cheer. The Yankees, they're gonna learn to feel. The Yankees, everyone knows they play to win.
Hey there, sports fans. Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Darren and Kevin. Today is Wednesday, July 7th. This is episode 179. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. We're all over the place. Give us a look. Join our pages. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, send them to us. We'll get back to you. Guys, it's July. It is sports potpourri time. There's very little going on in the world of sports right now. We're going to touch on some things. We're going to talk some baseball. For today, Yankees are at 50-41, 3.5 back of Toronto. Mets at 53-39. They are tied in first place with the Phillies at the moment. Both teams are staggering at the moment, hoping to get something rolling now. Kev, let's start it off with the Mets.
What a difference a week makes.
No doubt.
Last Wednesday, my rant, my near cursing. I don't know how many times I said freak, freaking Mets, freaking this, freaking that, trying to keep it clean.
And that is your cursing, by the way.
What was that?
No,
that is your cursing.
But yeah, what a difference. You know, last week when we were recording this, they dropped the first game of the twin bill to the Brewers. They came back in the nightcap while we were recording it. Nimmo grand slam, Mets win 7-3. Come back Thursday, Peterson gives them what they needed into the seventh inning when the pitching staff is a little short. 3-2 win. And they two in a row going into the Subway Series. And then you look at Friday night and, you know, you're looking at the Stroman-Hagenman matchup. And somehow, some way, Hagman and Warren combined for six innings, kept the Mets in the game somehow. Stroman was, you know, shaky. And it set it up where McNeil had the big two-run home run in the seventh. Garrett six outs to close it out. And it was quite a comeback because, you know, it started off terribly if you're a Mets fan. You know, with Hagman starting, Dominguez and Judge lead off with home runs. And then, you know, couple more solo shots from the Yankees, but you know they hung in there and kept it, like I said, close enough for McNeil to get the winner.
Some of the sloppiest baseball I've seen in a three-game series, I got to tell you, by both teams.
And some, and yes, obviously it's Sunday, no, but some
no good pitching. I just,
you know, Saturday, you know, the one chance that you thought the Mets may have had with Montas. You don't know which Montas is going to show up. I mean, he was their ace this weekend going up against Rodon. And Nimmo got it started off great with the grand slam in the first. Alonso, two home runs, five RBIs later. Montas did just enough, got him into the sixth inning, and the Mets pulled away 12-6. And then that set up Sunday where Fried had to step up. And Fried, you know, the Mets made them work. They drove up the pitch count. He only went five and change, or five plus. He didn't get it out in the sixth, but he left. It was 5-0. Mets tried to come back a little bit. You know, it was a bullpen game for the Yankees, and Zach Pop, who made his one and hopefully only appearance for the Mets this year, and ending the third, five hits, three runs, and then probably the one managerial decision this whole weekend. And, you know, game by game, we could talk about bullpen usage, left the starter in too long.
Do we have to?
But the one was Waddell pitching to Judge with the runner on second, first base open. Out of the 30 to 40,000 fans in the stands, 98% probably thought it was a home run before that bat even started. Would that be about right?
You like your chances as a Yankee.
All right. Yeah, you like your chances.
You like your chances. Judge delivered, and then they held on to 2-6-4. Bellinger with the hell of a play.
Yeah, it was an amazing play.
Maybe, catching that shoestring backhand and then coming to firing and nailing Lindor with double off first base there.
Yeah.
Great play. Saved the game for the Yankees right there and gave the Yankees a much needed win, just at least salvage one in the series and break their losing streak a little bit. What were you guys' thoughts on the Subway Series?
I hate the Subway Series. I have for many years. I don't enjoy it. As a Yankee fan, there's no winning in the Subway Series. We're supposed to win the series. When we don't, it's like, oh, my God. And, you know, let's don't take it the wrong way, Kev, but the Met fans celebrate in June and July like no other team, no other fan base I've ever seen. I mean, they're acting like they just had the parade. I've never enjoyed it that much. Maybe the first few years I did, watching Malicki shut them out, and you know, so some interesting things that went along the way. Watching Piazza take Clemens deep, and you know, you had some interesting things early on. Bellinger's play saved the game. The umpiring at behind home plate on Sunday was atrocious both ways, but obviously the Torrens stuff stands out because it was the ninth inning. And I feel like that third strike was basically because of all the chirping, but because it wasn't really that close. Neither was the strike before it. I thought that that you can't say that Torrens going to get a big hit. You don't know what he's going to do, but you took the bat out of the kid's hands. So I thought the Yankees got a little lucky with that. I thought Bellinger's play was huge. And again, the Yankee bullpen, which was started off as a strength. Between the injuries and the inconsistencies, has fallen apart now. So they need Fernando Cruz back in the worst way. Okay, they Leiter. I mean, I know he was apparently playing on some sort of a break in his leg, but whatever. Get him out of here. I can't watch him anymore. Williams has been better, but he's still not Williams. And Weaver suddenly has fallen apart. Loaisiga gives up home runs every time he comes out. Two tonight so far. So even though you're starting with Stroman, you expect Rodon to do a little better than he did. He was the one that disappointed you. Fried was cruising through five. The Mets got him in the sixth. But the Yankees were able to hold on. Listen, they had lost. They had gotten swept by Toronto. They had lost six in a row. And all in games where the Yankees, three out of four games, the Yankees could have easily won those games. They were one-run games or tied late, and they just didn't find a way to get it done. But when you watched the Subway Series, you know, the Mets, it started with the win over Mizorowski, right? The guy that nobody could touch.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and he came back with his next start and shut down the Dodgers. But at that moment, when I think it was Nimmo that took him deep, that started that off. And Nimmo had a couple of big home runs last week, which were great. But, Mizorowski, who was like untouchable, a whip under like 0.7, And that just turned it all around. And then they lose the Sunday game, but they come back in dramatic fashion last night and win again against Baltimore. Tonight, but down 6-2. I mean, I know Baltimore's not a very good team this year, but still a win when you're down 6-2 late. A homer's by Lindor and Alonso.
Yep.
And good stuff for the Mets. On the Yankee side, like we said, it's just they got to get some guys back on track. I was cursing about Clark Schmidt 2 years ago, Gino. Now the fact that he's out for a year is kind of devastating, right?
Oh, it's horrible.
Schlittler pitched well tonight. Your favorite player got DFA'd today. I don't even know how you're able to survive on the show today, Gino. If you want to talk about DJ.
Listen, he deteriorated from when we signed him, gave us a good first 2 years of the contract, and then got injured. And honestly, they kept moving him around the infield, and he's not a first baseman, and he's not a third baseman. He's a second baseman, and that's if you can get what you were getting from him in year one and year two out of him, they're good numbers for a second baseman, but that's all they are. They're good numbers. They're not great. Okay. You know,
well, if you're winning batting titles, you'll play them anywhere.
No, Kev, I won't. I don't. I never wanted him at first. I never wanted him at third. If he's going to play first base and hit the way Arraez hits and hits 320, I still don't want him at first base. He's not a first baseman.
His first year at the Yankees, he was 20 and 100.
Yeah, at second base, though. That's the difference.
If that's your first baseman, I'll take that as my first baseman.
No, I won't. I won't. No, because at Yankee Stadium, I don't want – I need him as a second.
Conversation, you know,
I needed him as a second baseman
on everything. Now that you get power from every other position on the field, first and third base power isn't as necessary as it once was. This is where me and Kevin are the opposite of you from the way that we actually understand the way baseball has evolved in this way. While you just still want power at the corners, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just funny. It's the only old school thing that you really enjoy. It's like, well, no, I need my power hitters. My corner should be hit the moment.
But Darren, here's the difference. The advantage of having a LeMahieu on this team, or what the difference was you had a 25 home run hitting second baseman. That's the advantage of having him on the roster.
If
you're taking no, Kev, it's not that. Yes, but it's not. See, I disagree with you. if you're bringing him in here to man second base and he's hitting you 20 to 25 home runs, that's the advantage. If you're putting him at first base, I can get a ton of guys. I can get Rowdy Tellez off the freaking waiver wire who can hit 25 home runs in Yankee Stadium.
220 instead of 320.
Listen, I'm fine with Arraez playing first base for me. And I have no problem with it whatsoever. I understand what you're saying. I'm not necessarily disagreeing, but I like a guy that moves people around the field. Moves people around the base pass. I like guys that make contact. It's something I think is lost art, and I hate unproductive outs.
We are far away from him hitting 320, by the way. Stop that conversation right now.
No, I'm just saying, when you brought up Arraez, I'm fine with Arraez, who's only hitting 294, by the way, which is down for him this year. But you know, I'm fine with the guy that makes contact and moves around, because there's other bats in the lineup, like you said. But at the same time, I just don't LeMahieu, when LeMahieu's hitting 230, he's out of position. He's not hitting any pop.
No.
There's really no value to him.
When he's hitting 230 and he can no longer field second base, he's got no range left anymore.
No. He can't,
and at 230 with no pop, he can't play him anywhere else besides second base without any sort of defense helping them out there. You know, now you're forcing Jazz Chisholm, who can't play third. Now you've weakened in two positions.
Absolutely. You had to get rid of him. And listen, other than a 2.5 week stretch last year, this is the same LeMahieu that we had last year. Other than that, he had a two and a half week stretch where he was on fire with the bat, and that was it. And that's the same guy that I've been picking on for 2.5 years because I don't want to play in first. I don't want to play in third. But listen, they released him. You know, Darren, this is the third straight year that in June, July, the Yankees have had a 6-16 stretch.
Yep.
Do you put anything into that?
Yeah, we have a crappy GM and a horrible manager.
is it the letdown from coming out of the gate strong? I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, for me, watching this team right now, and listen, injuries, but they affect everybody. But when I watch this team right now, here's what I know. I need to see, just base it off 10 games, right? I need to see Judge in every game, right? 10 out of 10. He's got to play every day. I need to see Bellinger in 9.5 out of 10 games. 9 to 9.5, all right? I need to see Dominguez in 8 to 8.5 out of 10 games. I need to see him. I'm sorry. I need to see what this kid can do.
I agree. I
need to see Goldschmidt in 9 out of 10 games. Need to see it. That means that I need to see Stanton in 8.5 out of 10 games because I need to get his back going. He's got 2 homers since he came back, right? Yep. Enough of the mismatching, sitting Goldschmidt against the righty, sitting, you know, enough of Grisham playing a lot. I don't need it. I don't need to see Trent Grisham. I know what he is. I know he's streaky. I know he's a nice player. But we also know at the same point in time, he's very streaky, and he can hit 192 for you the same way he can hit 230. We know what Trent Grisham is, okay? Ben Rice, nice start, exciting. Stanton's playing in the playoffs, right? Or is it Ben Rice? What do you think? I think they're going to go with Stanton. Just a hunch, right? He owns. So I need to see him. I need to see these two idiots stop moving around the lineup so much. Play the guys I need to see. I need to see Dominguez. I need to see what he can do. I need him out there every day. I need to see Bellinger never coming out. I need to see Judge. If you want to give him a day off, he's DHing. That's what I need. I need Goldschmidt every freaking day. I need to see the lineup. And when you play around like they're playing around, trying to figure out how to mix and match, it's bull. It's garbage. And that's what the Yankees are doing. They try to outthink everybody, and they're morons, Kev.
Who are the four best Mets players?
Four best Mets players are Soto, Lindor, Alonso. You know, I guess Nimmo, you call it. I mean, right? Actually, yeah. I would call it Nimmo is four.
Nimmo's either one or five, and the other three are two, three, and four every day.
It's got to be.
That's what the Yankees need to do.
Oh, agreed.
I need the
at the top of the lineup there. Mix and match at the bottom if you want to find some matchups. But like you said, it's got to be if you want Judge two, that's fine. Especially if you're against the righty, let Bellinger hit three. You know, take advantage of the short porch. You know, hopefully he gets going. Have Stanton bat four. Let him just get going. Might as well put Dominguez one. He's got a little bit of speed, right?
Yeah, especially that they like hitting Jazz five, which I still hate. But especially because of that, yes, hit Dominguez one. I agree.
Yeah, and just ride with that.
I mean, I think the Mets four is better than the Yankee four in consistency. I'll give Judge the one, and I'll give Mets like two, three, and four. I'll put Alonso a little bit behind, behind the other two, behind Lindor and Soto, and I put Bellinger back there, you know, kind of with Nimmo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The Yankees might have, you know, seven and eight if we were combining it all, but at the same time, I need to see these guys play every day.
And
enough of the
lineup.
Listen, and if there's an injury and Grisham has to play, fine. But until that moment, enough, Jake.
I would assume on the same thing that Kev said with consistency, that now that they DFA'd LeMahieu, we're going to see Jazz at second every day. I'm assuming
they did say that.
Right. I'm assuming that that's part of, you know, what we're talking about, which is we want to see some consistency out of this group. That's it. You know, if Jazz is going to complain that he doesn't want to play third, fine. You're putting him at second base and saying, okay, that's it. We're done. We're not moving you around. We'll figure out third base with a host of other guys until maybe the deadline when we acquire somebody.
Yeah. And that's what they have to do next. They have to come up. Now you made this move. They have to go out and they have to make the move. They have to get a third baseman. I mean, that's what it comes down to. There's no wiggle
room. Right. So
Mark Vientos.
Well, I don't think the Mets are giving up on him just yet. He was so good in the postseason.
I know
that you still have shades of watching him hit everything that was coming down anywhere near the plate last year, right?
Yeah.
And Kev, it would not have happened because the Yankees and Mets are almost never going to make a trade of any kind of value, right? But in the off season, if we had offered Spencer Jones for Jeff McNeil, it probably would have went through. If it wasn't for the fact that it's Yankees Mets across town, it's not going to happen. Okay, but you know it's that.
By the way, before you get into third baseman though, G, I don't want to see Spencer Jones. I'm already having enough problems getting these guys at bats. I don't need to see Spencer Jones come up. I don't.
Oh no, I'm not talking about him coming up.
No, but there are rumblings about it.
Yeah,
I don't need
to play.
He's not going to play anywhere. There's no way to play him right now.
I mean, we don't need that. If you want to tell me that they're going to look at Lombard and maybe, you know, Sid Volpe, that's the only move I can see from them outside of Schlittler, who they brought up tonight.
Yeah,
it drives me crazy watching this team the last couple of days because I just want to see the lineup out there.
So here are some third basemen. So I went through the list, and there's very few guys on this list that are not from six teams. So there are six teams that I basically focused on because I thought those are the teams that are probably going to try to unload some guys, right? The White Sox, Washington, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Colorado, and Oakland, the A's, okay? And the A's are on the outside of unloading somebody because it's going to have to be a situation thing. They're not just unloading for the sake of unloading. They're not letting young guys go and that kind of thing. So here are some third basemen.
Marino would be the unload guy for the A's, in my opinion.
I'm sorry?
It would be Severino would be the one guy that they probably want to unload.
He hasn't pitched well. And he's on my pitcher list, but let's talk the third baseman. So the two guys that are not on those teams are Arenado and then Yoan Moncada from the Angels. Those are the two that are not on any of those teams. Okay, but here you go, Darren. Suarez from Arizona.
I can't see them doing it, but I would look at him.
And here you go, Ahmad Rosario from Washington.
No way.
I know. I don't want him here either.
There's two I like.
Oh, wait. McMahon from Colorado.
There's one of the two I like. Got that lefty swing, like the short porch, can play defense, and he's hitting like 220. I don't know how much it's going to cost us.
Cabrian Hayes from Pittsburgh.
He hasn't hit in Pittsburgh. Darren,
I can't give you somebody that's hitting 300 with 14 home runs. They're not going to trade him.
No,
okay?
I'm just saying.
I know.
I don't look at Cabrian Hayes or Ahmed Rosario saying the Yankees are better when these guys come in. I just don't.
I'm gonna say this name and know that I do not want to go down this road, but Gio Urshela, okay, who's on Oakland right now.
Been there, done
that. I know. Miguel Vargas from the White Sox. Because I think for a prospect or two, he could be had. Again, Darren, I'm giving you – this is the list. You got somebody else?
For me, it's Arenado or McMahon, or I'm not making a move.
And so my third guy in there is Suarez.
Yeah, I don't need another all-or-nothing guy. I know he puts up great numbers. It's just me. I watched that guy have years that he's awful and years that he's good. I could see him coming here hitting .150 and hitting nothing.
Those are the only three guys I can come up with. I'm sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
Suarez is a rental, right? He's a free agent after the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arenado's got a couple of years.
He does.
I think one more after this year.
You might be right.
I think after this year, he's got one more. I think so.
And is he still arbitration eligible?
Who?
For a couple of years? McMahon?
I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure, Kev. That one I'm not sure about.
I don't think he's been around long enough to be free agent yet. I think he might still be arbitration. So, you know,
could be
a little bit more in the prospects. So Suarez will come cheapest.
Yes.
As a rental. But the other two are more sure things.
So maybe not, only because of the three, Suarez has got the power potential to give you the most. So maybe not. But, yeah, I mean, listen, from that list – and, you know, the other guy I didn't even bother naming, Darren, because I don't want him here, is IKF. Again, you want me to shoot? I just got rid of LeMayu. You want me to shoot my head off again? I mean, you know.
Come on, it's two home runs at third base. We need power out of third base.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, no, I mean, like what you're saying, I mean, right now, IKF doesn't make me feel like we got better.
No, exactly. Yoan
Moncada has never shown a thing in this. He's just highly touted. He's never done a thing. To me, Arenado is an ideal guy for one reason. He gives you the glove and he makes contact. Now, I know contact is not important to other people. It's more important to me than a lot of people that watch baseball. I like guys that put the ball in play because things happen.
This was my off-season guy, Darren. You know,
I know. My other guy is McMahon simply for the short porch. That's it. I mean, nobody else do I think improves the team. Nobody else you mentioned. Not a soul.
No, listen.
I mean, Suarez does improve the team.
Those are the only three third basemen that really do anything for me. Kev.
Yeah.
Outfielders potentially for the Mets.
They need to be able to play center field.
I understand. You ready for the list?
Yep. Cedric Mullins. So,
It goes a little bit deeper than the six teams, but not much because there's only about seven guys on this list. So Mullins is on my list.
Of course, yeah.
Luis Robert.
No.
From the White Sox.
No.
What about Randall Grichuk from Arizona?
I don't see him as a center fielder as much. I know what
you're doing.
I'm the corner guy. I know.
There are not many from these teams. Do you want Harrison Bader again?
I'll stick with Taylor for defense out there.
Okay. And then after that, I'm going to go to some of the guys that can play out there. You know, McCutchen, Gurriel, Soler. I mean, those are the outfielders that are going to be on the market from these teams. Now, there is one other one. I don't know if he's gettable, but it's Stephen Kwan from the Indians. That's the only other one that's out there from the teams that I looked at that may be willing to dump somebody. So that would be the only other one, Darren.
The only guy I would throw out there, only because he's having such a crap season, but he had such a good one last year, and he's cheap probably at this point, is Brenson Doyle.
Oh,
what? He's hitting like two.
Brendan Doyle from the Colorado?
Yeah. He's 209. He's not hitting well.
I know.
But last year, he looked like a world beater. And
so when I looked at it, I passed him over for this list because I just thought he was too young and had too much promise for the Rockies just to be dumping a guy for the fact to dump it somebody.
Probably, like you said, I drafted him for fantasy, figuring last year he's going to be good. And without knowing him or what the situation is, remember, he lost a very young child earlier this year. You don't know what that's done to him.
Oh, it had to affect him big time. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are going to react some ways that you just don't know. And maybe he needs, he may need to take off the rest. I mean, like I said, totally.
Yeah.
No professional thought behind not knowing anything about his situation personally, but he's a guy that might need to just take the rest of the year off and grieve properly and come back next year. You know, you don't know. That's why, you know, talent wise, yes, he's worth a gamble. If his head's in the game, like I said, well, I don't know if that's part of the problem.
So,
but it might be a change of scenery and not seeing the things over and over again.
That could help too.
Seeing every day. That's
so. There is one outfielder I completely left off the list on purpose. I want to tell you who it is, and it's Brian Reynolds from Pittsburgh. I'm going to tell you why.
No trade.
He has a no trade clause for six teams. These are all good six teams, okay? Yeah. And they include the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres. Those are the six teams that he does not want to be traded to.
There's not a crap team in the bunch.
No, I want to play baseball, but I don't want to play in October. Is that what his whole purpose is? I don't know.
He's got a big trip playing in mid-October.
Maybe. All right. So
I have all those guys. Cedric Mullins is the guy because he's still going to give. Like I said, Taylor's terrific defensively out there. I think Mullen is just as terrific out there as well. Mullen can give you the defense, but he's also going to give you a chance to. He's got 12 or 13 home runs, I think.
Yep.
And Taylor's got one, two.
Taylor's not an offensive bat at all, Kev.
He's not.
Let's say it. I mean, he's out there. He's playing center field. He's giving you good defense, and that's all he's giving you. I mean,
it's to the point where you'd rather see McNeil out there, who's actually playing well out there too. Yeah. I mean, McNeil gives you the better option right now in center field.
Well, listen, when you got a player that you're excited when they go 1-for-4, and the Yankees have him too, but that's what Tyrone Taylor has become. He went 1-for-4 today. It's exciting because you expect him to go 0-for-4. And that's the problem with a lot of these guys nowadays, and particularly the guys that have tried to play center field for the Mets. Even though McNeil had the big home run, last week. Don't get me wrong, he certainly did. He's a better bat, but he's another guy that we were talking about it before about how LeMayu fell off the face of the earth. I mean, what happened to Jeff McNeil? Is a 330 hitter that's now struggling to get to 250, 260. I mean, it's a totally different world.
All right, last list is pitchers.
Yep.
Keeping it to those teams, okay? Obviously, Bednar is on that list. Mitch Keller's on that list. Marquez from Colorado. Soroka, Finnegan from Washington. Sean Burke, who's having a good year for the White Sox, although really don't know what he could project to be. Severino, Springs, Sears from Oakland. And then it's... what is Arizona willing to deal? Because are they willing to deal Gallen? Are they willing to deal Rodriguez? Are they willing to deal Merrill Kelly, Ryan Nelson? You know, they have pitchers. It's just a matter of what they're actually willing to give up. They're not having a good year, but that doesn't mean they're going to just dump, you know, trade away Gallen. So, you know, that's basically the list. There's only two relievers on that list between Bednar and Finnegan. I looked around. That was really the only two closer type guys I could find that would probably be, you know, on the trade market. There may be some others. I didn't go completely deep, but Kev?
What about Baltimore and Bautista?
Do you even want Bautista? I mean, he's not good at all.
He's been wild this year. The walks have been up. His strikeouts are fine. His hits per nine are fine. It's the walks. But if he's pitching the eighth instead of the ninth, where you've got a little bit of wiggle room there, he's a guy that I would want.
Okay. I'm not crazy about him, but I get your enthusiasm for adding him to this list. I don't know how much Baltimore is willing to give up, though.
Yeah.
You know, I put Mullins on that list because
he's a free agent.
And they have enough young players that, you know, I don't know if they're just willing to deal them, but, you know, I would if I was in their shoes. I got enough young guys. I can find somewhere to put them.
I mean, you don't know if a Sproat or a Tidwell would be enough for a guy like Mullins, who's going to be a free agent.
I think Sproat ends up – I think Sproat's not bad. I think Sproat gets a decent amount. I don't think Tidwell's nearly the prospect that Sproat is, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at them being third and fourth behind right now McClain and Tong.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Tong still hasn't made it up to AAA yet, but, I mean, but his stat lines every time he pitches are just fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, six innings, 11 Ks, one run, no runs. It's like, Jesus. How come this guy can't get the AAA? But that's just one man's
opinion. I mean, from a Met perspective, you're hoping that Raley comes back and pitches a good second half here. And, yes, it's against minor leaguers, but he's at least looked good in his rehab appearances. So he should be back right after the All-Star break. So that gives you that lefty you need. If you get that eighth inning guy, now you back Stanek and Garrett back to the seventh and sixth innings. Brazoban now becomes that fifth or sixth inning guy. Now you have a much deeper bullpen. But like I said, the two additions are that eighth inning guy and Raley. In your rotation,
you're going to have to bring somebody here.
They have to.
Your
rotation, you're hoping, you know, Senga wasn't out that long. He should be back starting Friday. Looks like Minaya should be starting Sunday. You know, you don't know about the elbow. Of all the pitches you mentioned, I tell you, the one I would be most interested in, I think Arizona would want a lot for Gallen. Merrill Kelly, you know, he's 33, 34, I think. You know, a little bit older guy, but he's a workhorse type. I mean, as much of a workhorse as you have nowadays, you know, he's got to go out there. He's going to give you six or seven innings almost every start. And I think that's what the Mets need right now is a guy who they can go out and rely on to give him six or seven every turn through.
Merrill Kelly is 36, by the way.
He's 36. Okay. Like I said, you're not looking, like I said, I think he's going to come a little cheaper than some of these guys. And I'd rather have him for, you know, 12 starts down the stretch here where I'm going to get 70 or 80 innings. And
you're going to have to give him a decent amount, though, Kev.
Yeah.
Even though he's 36, he's proven.
Yeah, I know. But you know, this team is built that they're right there.
All right, so we're on the
Yankee side, right, it's been the same thing, G. On the Yankee side, you know, it's really going to come down if Weaver can get it together. And we got to find that out in the next couple weeks. He had a good performance tonight. We'll see what the story is, you know, with him going forward. We need him to keep it going like that. But if Cruz comes back, is able to pitch the seventh, and Weaver's the eighth, and Williams is the nine, you can live with it. Right, I mean, you're okay with Loaiza figures out what he's got going on as the sixth inning guy, you feel like you got enough. The starting rotation is definitely an issue, right? You know, Schlittler, you know, pitched well tonight, but who the hell knows? Heel's close to coming back from everything we hear. Hopefully we see him soon. You know, the loss of Clark Schmidt is pretty devastating to this team. Stroman is not the answer, and you know it going in. They have to bring in another starter.
Yep. I would expect another starter here.
And the same guy that Kevin's looking at is the same guy I would have said. If I could get something for Merrill Kelly. Listen, if Arizona gives up on Zach Gallen, that's awful on their part.
I agree. I'm just –
if they did
– Gallen's the guy you keep if you're the Arizona. 36-year-old Merrill Kelly, you see what you got. You can get from.
Yeah, I mean, it'll cost you. It'll cost you a good prospect. It'll cost you a top 10.
Yeah.
But Merrill Kelly's been good, and, you know, he'd be the guy I'd look at. And the pen, you know, we might need to make a move, but I feel like if Weaver's on his game and they can get him back, you know, it could be a, you know, I don't know. I don't need to waste anything on Bednar. I don't need to waste anything on any of these guys.
No,
I don't like any of them all that much.
Listen, I agree with you. I think one of these middle reliever lefty guys could come over somewhere. You know, I don't think the Yankees, if they're going to acquire a bullpen arm, are going to acquire anyone big name. I don't see that because, you know, they invested too much in the Devin Williams trade to bring him here. So they're going to have to play it out for this season, at least anyway, before they make any kind of move. I mean, as it is, they demoted him, and now when Weaver went out with the injury, they brought him back to the closer role. So I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so All-Star game coming up next week. One thing that just jumped out at me before I get there is, you know, Colorado is 21-71.
They're very bad.
That is just horrible. Any snubs right off the bat? I mean, I got a couple.
Well, Trey Turner leads the league in hits. I don't know how you don't make the All-Star team.
Who?
Trey Turner. I don't know how he doesn't make it. I mean, he leads the league in hits.
Well, but so you say that, but so who are you taking off?
Okay, what are my options? Because I don't have it in front of me.
Well, I'll give you the easy one. Brendan Donovan.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I know we got a great start. I know we want to reward all these guys that for first-time All-Stars, but the All-Star game is about the fans watching the best players.
I agree.
Not a little happy, fun thing to see Brendan Donovan walk out there. Nobody gives a damn.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I kind of touched on it last week, you know, Bobby Witt not making that starting lineup is just a killer for me. But he made the team, like I said last week, so I'm okay with it. But, you know, I don't need C. Gleyber Torres starting at second base. That's a killer for me. And I don't need Javi Baez out in the outfield when, you know, there's a ton of guys that could have made this team over him. So, you know, I think, Kev, the one guy I was figuring you were going to bring up was Soto not making this team.
If it's an all-star game, he needs to be there.
I agree.
Based on his start and the stats he had going into June, if you're voting based on first half stats, he didn't deserve to make it.
Well,
he had a hot June. He finally got going in June, but the voting's been open for a lot longer than just June.
Listen, he didn't make it, and neither did Suzuki on the Cubs, who leads the league in RBIs right now. Okay.
Yeah.
But neither did George Springer, who, by the way, seems to be tearing the cover off the ball on the American League side.
So in the National League, you got those two outfielders, right? Tell me who you want to take off from this list. Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, James Wood, Corbin Carroll, Ronald Acuna, and Fernando Tatis. And, you know, they got two DHs on this roster with Ohtani and Schwarber. So, you know, I think Soto should be on this roster, but I don't know who the hell you take off.
It would be, again, it's all-star versus what you've done the first half.
I know.
Acuna wasn't playing long enough.
I said this last week to you. I said this, and the only reason I think Acuna's on this team
is in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta,
and he's an all-star caliber player.
Yes, he definitely is.
See Ronald Acuna play. They also want to see Juan Soto play.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let's just make the rosters 40 and give everybody one at bat.
I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, listen, the All-Star game used to mean something when we were kids. We really enjoyed it. We grew up watching it. It hasn't. I mean, listen, I don't think it has the same luster as it did for the kids now as we had back then. It just doesn't seem to have that same.
I don't know how it joined because you can
watch the team, you can watch everybody all the time. You get highlights of everybody. It's a totally different game. We were talking about Dave Parker's throw in the 79 All-Star game like it was yesterday. Yeah. I remember it like it was freaking. I remember Lee Mazzilli tearing it up as a hitter. I remember that throw and Carter tagging out Downing. I remember that play like it was yesterday. And we used to love watching that stuff. I remember, you know, Atlee Hammack giving up the grand slam to Fred Lynn. I remember all these little things when I was a kid because the American League never won. That's why it was a big deal. You know, it was such a huge deal. Now, you know, you don't even know if the players really want to be there. They also, the money meant something more to them that back then. The other things that stood out to me were a couple of the pitchers, National League in particular, Andrew Abbott and Christopher Sanchez, probably both did enough to make it. But like you said, Gino, I mean, who are we taking off? You know, I mean, a lot of guys are good. Joe Ryan in the American League. Who are we taking out?
I think somebody's going to make the team because Sale will be an injured. He'll be an injured guy that'll get replaced. But, yeah, I mean, it becomes a numbers game at some point. I mean, you know,
which starters are pitching Sunday that they'll replace him with somebody else. You know, you don't know what some of these
Christopher Sanchez
do.
Right now is scheduled to pitch on Sunday.
Okay, so
I don't know if he will. I think that takes him out. But that's what. Listen, he's on the fantasy team. I'm looking ahead. Who's pitching this week?
I mean, here are the five NL starters: Skeens, Wheeler, Sale, Webb, and Mackenzie Gore. And he got me. Okay, somebody's got to come off the pitch. I don't know. I don't know who it is.
No, I get it. It's tough. Listen, the fans vote, and that's why you get Javi Baez and you get Glaber, and because every day is Glaber Day. But you know, if we're going to allow the fans to vote, this is what you're going to get. Sometimes it's not what the Reds did in the 70s, where everybody made the All-Star team. You know, and it's not that
seven
bad.
Starters.
The Tigers were pretty damn close.
All right. Any other baseball points?
I have a bunch. Do you have any, Kev?
Just one funny stat I'd seen today.
Okay. Go for it.
Aaron Judge just passed Bryce Harper on the all-time home run leaderboard. Harper was Rookie of the Year in 2012. Judge was Rookie of the Year in 2017.
Freaking crazy.
All right, before Darren gets to his, I got one. You ready?
Yep.
Yep.
In 1997, Craig Biggio played 162 games. He did not ground into a double play all year, and he is the only major league player to ever have that accomplishment.
To date.
Figured you like that one, Darren.
All right. I have about seven, okay? But here we go.
Go for it.
First one, Greg Maddux, okay? In two different seasons, 1994 and 1998, Greg Maddux hit for a higher batting average than his batting average against. 22 to 207 and then 240 to 220. Kev, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I had one more, too, when you're done.
Go ahead, Kev.
Over the weekend, Michael Bush? Matt Bush, I mean.
Michael
Bush. I got you.
Thank you. Three home runs for the Cubbies off of the Cardinals against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Third Cub to ever do that against the Cardinals. Hit three home runs in a game. It was Bush, Moises Alou in 2003, Hank Lieber in 1939.
1939.
Three guys to hit three home runs against the Cardinals as a Cub.
Okay.
All three were July 4th.
Really?
No.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great stat.
That was like, how is that possible?
So that's pretty awesome. Okay, the last three single season home run hitters, leaders, so Maris, McGuire, and Bonds, Only one pitcher ever faced all three. Nolan Ryan.
Wow.
5-for-28 with no homers against Nolan.
Wow.
Speaking of Nolan Ryan, he only gave up one walk-off home run in his history of his career. Bruce Bochy.
Oh, my God.
And what they did was they put a six-pack and ice in his helmet. And because he had such a big head, they said it was the only helmet you could fit a six-pack and the ice.
and that must be that must be a lot of innings, Nolan Ryan.
Only walk-off he's ever given up. Luis Ortiz suspended for gambling. We know that. Anthony Volpe's stat, because I'm a little down on Volpe. So over the last 3 years, since 2023, there's been 62 players that have registered 1,500 plate appearances, okay? Volpe's one of those 62. In that, he ranks 62nd on that list in average on-base percentage, OPS, and he's 58th in slugging. So we got to see if – I mean, listen, we've given him 3 years now. We might have to see what Lombard can do, right? I just one man's opinion. Manny Machado joined the 2,000-hit club, okay? He's one of only 12 players with 350 homers and 2,000 hits. Gehrig, Fox, Ott, Mays, Mantle, Aaron, Frank Robinson, Griffey, A-Rod, Pujols, Cabrera, and Manny.
That's a hell of a list.
Impressive, man. This one's for you, Kev. The 1969 Mets only used 15 pitches all season. They're up to 36 so far. When Carrillo came in the other day. So
it'll be 37 on Sunday. When
it'll be 37 on Sunday. 15 in the entire year in 1969. Here's one for Gino because he loves this. Ichiro got his third hit in his 10th at bat in baseball in his career. He'd never dip below 300 again.
Yep.
He was 2-for-9. Wow. 3-for-3, never come below again. Patrick Bailey of the Giants hit the first inside the park home run walk-off by a catcher since the great Benny Tate. Kev, you remember this, 1926.
Oh, I remember that game very well.
Oh, craziness. And finally, Wanda Franco found guilty of sexual abuse with a minor, 2-year prison sentence. He was with a 14-year-old girl, but it seemed like the mother kind of set it up. A little bit weird down there, but still, you know, you're a 21-year-old man with a 14-year-old girl. You got to be thinking a little bit. And finally, Bobby Jenks, who on the mound, closing out the White Sox 88-year drought when they won the World Series in 05, passed away. Only 44 years old. So rest in peace, Bobby Jenks. That's pretty much it. That's my baseball stuff.
All right. Let's go around the rest of the world of sports. So Knicks finally hired Mike Brown officially. Darren, it's a 4-year, $40 million contract. He was coaching the year twice.
Yeah, they still owe tips 30, so $70 million out there for coaching.
He in 758 games, he is 454 and 304. So, any comments on the Nick hire, guys?
Well, Brunson already has been a little bit demoted. He's no longer the assistant head coach now. So we'll see how that affects Jalen. But Jalen wanted Tibbs to stay, so I guess they really don't care about how Jalen fails, I should say. You know, listen, they'll play with pace. He's one in the league. If they would have went out and hired Mike Brown right away, like we said last week, we might have been more excited. But because they went and struck out and missed so many times, it almost seemed like he was the guy that was left. I mean, listen, Tibbs brought us pretty far. Now let's see if Brown can take us the rest of the way. Kev?
Yep. You said it. I mean, the big thing's going to be, is Mike Brown going to play his roster or just eight guys like Tibbs did?
And I agree. And that, to me, that's the key point in this, Kev. You know, you just brought in Clarkson. You know, you have a couple of guys on the bench that need to get some minutes. I don't know what you want to see out of them, but, you know, these guys got to play minutes to the point where everybody's not exhausted. Now, he got through this year's playoffs with no injuries, but last year was a mess with the injuries. We know that. So we'll see how that, you know, we'll see how that works out.
I mean, you know, even with Brown coaching, this is a 50-something win team.
Agreed.
And, you know, the question is going to be how far do they get to the playoffs?
Yep. And honestly, who winds up being in their way as they get through the playoffs? Because from what we've seen out of the East right now, it's kind of a mess. One other trade in the NBA that I saw this week, the Spurs traded for Kelly Olynyk from the Wizards. gave up a couple of guy bench guys and a second round pick next year. That was all I got for NBA. Any other NBA news, guys?
Nope.
Not all for right. me.
Let's talk a couple minutes on U.S. soccer. USA lost in the CONCACAF finals to Mexico 2-1. After Chris Richards' goal in the fourth minute, Mexico scored in the 27th minute and the 77th minute. We were all watching the game. After the first Mexico goal, U.S. seemed to not have a lot going in their on their side offensively. They put up a fight.
Before the first goal, they didn't have much.
Yeah, but once that goal happened, Mexico, I think, all of a sudden gained a little momentum where they were more confident in their play. And, from what we saw, it showed. Kev, what do you think?
But possession-wise, for the game, it was 60-40 Mexico, but I think that was a lot of U.S. pushing late. It was almost two-thirds to one-third through a good portion of that game. Shots, 16, 8 on net for Mexico, 6 and 3 on net for USA. And corners, 12 for Mexico, not a 1 for the U.S.
Yeah.
The entire game is played in the U.S. third. Mexico deserved to win. Two questionable calls that also went Mexico's way. Again, the Mexico deserved to win.
They Don't did. Get,
this is not sour grapes. But 66th minute, you had that, the Mexican defender falls in the penalty area. His hand is on the ball. He pulls the ball into him. Just natural reaction there. It's a handball in the penalty area. Let's not look at it. Let's not talk about it. And then on the Mexico winning goal, Alvarez's header, the original ruling on the field was offsides. They went to VAR. They said it was onsides. I still don't know if
very
was
close.
It's,
very
it's close. Real close.
That was real, real close.
And like I said, how do we not have gold technology, by the way, when you're playing a final in the Gold Cup?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with CONCACAF? I know some of these countries can't afford it, but come on, enough. Put it in everywhere.
And like I said, the team that deserved to win won. But
I agree. Yeah.
The only thing I'll take out of it was, listen, no Pulisic, no Dest, no Gio Reyna, no Pepe, no Tim Weah, no Weston McKennie, no Anthony Robinson, no Matt Turner. I mean, the only guy that was out there that's a lock to start, in my opinion, is Chris Richards, okay, who scored the only goal, by the way. Luna could play, but, we don't know how much. Weah might make the team. Freeze might have earned himself a shot at a backup goalie spot there. But we were playing a lot of backups. They had more experience than we did in the game. They were playing backups too, but they're just a little deeper. But Tyler Adams is the guy I skipped. I'm sorry. Tyler Adams will probably play as well. So, there's a lot. We weren't really playing our best guys, and it showed. They were overmatched. They didn't know. They couldn't. The midfield, they could not control the ball. 65-35 or 60-40 at the end. That looked closer to 70-30 from like the 8-minute mark till the 70-minute mark. Yeah. And Mexico could just play around all day long. They didn't seem to care.
I don't follow U.S. soccer enough to know the answer to this, and I'm not sure you guys do either, but why weren't they not playing all of those?
Rest. They played long seasons. They play playoffs. They want them to be rested and healthy for the World Cup, and that's really what it comes down to. Mexico did the same thing. They didn't play everybody. Mexico played a little bit more than we did, but not a lot more. But these guys, they had the long season, and they sit them out, and they play the UEFA League and all that other stuff, and you put all these tournaments that these guys are playing in, and they just kind of gave them all the time off. A nagging injury here. That's all it was.
Soccer as a whole has done away with the friendlies. They've gotten more tournament-type events. Whether it's Euros was always a thing, UEFA was always a thing, but I think there's more of these other tournament-type feel to things, to games, to matches, rather than just, we're going to play this guy just as a friendly, where you can pick and choose who you play. And I think the pressure is, you know, sometimes you got to look long term. And like Darren, you said, the focus is going to be the World Cup next year because it's here in the U.S.
Yeah, they have to make sure that they have a they have to get out of the group stage.
Exactly.
The whole thing for and we'll get more into that as we get closer. But the whole goal is to get out of the group stage next year, and they have to make sure everybody's healthy and ready to go.
Like to see, I get it. I understand what you're both saying. I'd still like to see some players playing and this team try to build a little momentum before we get there. You know,
yeah. I don't disagree with you. I want to see the guys play too.
Just but a little momentum. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Listen, I want to see him play too.
The U.S., I'm not sure what Mexico does, but I know over in Europe, all the leagues run August or September.
Late August, May. Yeah. Yep.
You know, they take the summer off. And the U.S. plays, you know, a traditional summer schedule where, you know, it's hard because, you know, Pulisic is playing in Europe. This is his time to rest. Some of the other players on the American team are playing MLS. They're on loan basically from their club team to play in this tournament. So they're already in shape. They're already in the middle of their season that they're playing a Gold Cup game instead of a club game. Still a game.
I got you. Right. We want to see this.
Yeah, I got you.
We don't want
to see this. Yep. Speaking of club, there's a Club World Cup going on right now too.
Absolutely.
You know, this weekend, Friday's games, I didn't watch it all. Saturday, the two quarterfinals were interesting. Paris Saint-Germain beat Bayern Munich 2-0. Thought for sure Bayern was going to come back because PSG had two late red cards. One in the 80th minute, one in injury time. But somehow, some way, PSG was a team that scored down two men to go up 2-0 and pull that game and just cap that one off. Real Madrid and Dortmund played 3-2 was the final. This was 2-0 after 20 minutes in favor of Real Madrid. Dortmund scored a goal 92nd minute, so 2 minutes into injury time, 2-1. Mbappe for Real Madrid scored 2 minutes later, made it 3-1. 2 minutes after that, the red card penalty shot. Dortmund scored to make it 3-2. Last play of the game, fingertip save by the Real Madrid goalie to hold off Dortmund. Otherwise, that would be an incredible comeback because, you know, you had two goals for the first 90 minutes and then three goals in stoppage time.
Yeah, extra time, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
The last 2 days, the semifinals, Chelsea beat Fluminense 2-0. PSG beat Real Madrid 4-0. And the final is Sunday at 3. The big problem is today, especially, you know, look, it's the semifinals. Let's put them on. They're on DAZN or, you know, that streaming service, DAZN. Channel 5, they can watch the women's Euros.
Yeah, and
boy, that's really going to draw. But,
all right. Yeah. Kev, why don't you tell us what's going on with Wimbledon?
Wimbledon, we've got the semifinal set. I'll start with the women's side. The upsets really tore apart this bracket here. We still got the one seed, Aryna Sabalenka. She's got three majors. She's facing the American Amanda Anisimova. She's seeking her first major. She's the 13th seed. The other side, she's only the 8th seed, but Iga Swiatek, who's got five majors, she's taking on Belinda Bencic, who's a unseeded. She's getting high as number four. Yeah. In 2020, she won the gold at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Obviously not the career she's expected ever since then, but she's back in the semifinals, so she's got a chance here. Semifinals are Thursday morning. And then on the men's side, after the early upsets, boy, there's not much of a surprise here. One semifinal, Jannik Sinner, the one seed. He's seeking his fourth major. He'll go against Novak Djokovic, the 6th seed, who's seeking his 25th, which would break the all-time all-gender record for majors. And then the U.S. hope Tanner Fritz, who's the 5th seed, he'll be taking on the 2 seed Carlos Alcaraz in the other semifinals. So that should be two terrific matchups Friday. Between Sinner, Djokovic, and Alcaraz, they've combined to win the last 12 majors.
Wow. Sinner was in trouble. He was down two sets to love, and then Grigor Dimitrov had to retire. So
yes, he
got away with one.
Yep.
And then he came back and rolled in his next match. So there you go.
Yeah, right. So root for Fritz. You know, Sinner today beat Ben Shelton.
Yep.
Three he good rolled. Sets. But he 7-6, 6-4, 6-4. And apparently Ben Shelton's dating Trinity Rodman.
Yep, he is.
And that's about it.
All right.
All right.
Anything else, Darren?
You've upset Gino.
Why?
No. I just had a quick question for it. Just something I was thinking about. And then I saw somebody actually posted too. So horse racing. Kev,
yes.
What do you think of the D. Wayne Lucas Breeders' Cup Classic?
Oh, I liked it.
Don't you think it'd be pretty cool to name the classic after him?
Yeah.
He did so great in the Breeders' Cup. He's probably been the greatest trainer of all time. I was thinking about it, and somebody actually put it down, and I was like, you know, I'm going to ask Kev what he thinks. I like it.
Yes. I'm curious. 1,000% yes.
All right. So we're both on board with the same thing. G, you got anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Nope. I'm good. That's it.
Kev, anything from you?
Nope. I'm good.
All right, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful, wild, wacky world of sports. A wacky world where DJ LeMayu is no longer going to be talked about on this program. Download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple, Proc, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. You know, we post on social. Like it, share it. Even if you don't like it anyway and share it anyway. We need more followers and more likes and more everything else. And without any further ado, I should say, may your sports be with you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.